Welcome, everybody, to Basic Gospel, where the phone lines are open at 1-800-677-9377. That's 1-800-677-9377. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, reminding you that if you'll keep listening or if you call, you'll learn how the Basic Gospel intersects with your life every day and how the Word of God can help you experience true life and freedom in Jesus Christ. If you have a Bible question, or if you're facing some bothersome issue that you'd like to talk through, call now, 1-800-677-9377. Again, toll-free 1-800-677-9377. It's Basic Gospel. Hear it. Believe it. Live it. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. If you listen to this program very often, you will hear us many times read passages out of Hebrews chapter 10. It's absolutely one of my top three favorite chapters in the Word of God. It really tells us all the benefits of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ to us. I mean, Jesus died to take away our sins once and for all. And just let me read a couple of passages in here that show really what that means to us on a daily basis. In verse 10 of Hebrews chapter 10, it says this, "And by that will we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." So through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, through that shed blood on the cross, we have been made holy. We have been set apart for God's usage. That was the problem. There was this holy God and there were unholy people, and there was no way that we could make ourselves holy. But the blood of Jesus Christ did that for us. So his sacrifice made us holy once and for all. And then you go down a few verses to verse 14. It says this, "Because by one sacrifice," again, it all hinges on the work of Jesus Christ, "by one sacrifice, he has made us perfect forever, those who are the holy ones." So we get some amazing promises here and realities here that couldn't happen apart from the shed blood of Jesus Christ. If you want to be made holy, if you want to make yourself holy, you're going to have to give up trying because you can't do it. I mean, you will reach for it and reach for it and reach for it, and you will never be able to grasp it. But through the blood of Jesus Christ, you get there. That blood delivers you to a state of holiness in God's sight. If you want to be perfect in God's sight, if you want to reach the goal that God has for you, it's not going to happen through striving. It's not going to happen through self-effort. The blood of Jesus is going to take you there. It's going to deliver you to God's goal for your life. That's what this new covenant is all about. And when we realize these things, as we've talked about all month, that's when we find healing for our souls. I mean, we get weary and worn out with all the striving that we do, all the spiritual striving that we do, trying to get God to love us, trying to earn his righteousness, trying to earn a right place in his kingdom. We can't do it. We need the blood of Jesus to take us there. And that's what he has accomplished for us through his death on the cross 2,000 years ago.
That's Basic Gospel, friends, and you hear it every day on this broadcast. We'd love for you to be a part of it at 1-800-677-9377. If you have a question or something you need to discuss, why, we're here to discuss it with you. 1-800-677-9377. Calls beginning to come in, but still open lines for you.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Vancouver, British Columbia, and talk with Sherry, listening to us on KARI. Hi, Sherry.
Hi. I'm a first-time caller, but I've been listening to you for quite a while now. And it's kind of hard to say. I grew up in a very dysfunctional home. We were in group homes and foster homes most of our young life. But we had a lot of different abuses, like sexual, emotional, physical. And I gave it all to the Lord. I became saved when I was 17, and I fell away from the Lord a couple times. But I've been back for a few years now. And I gave it all to the Lord, all my memories and fears of that period. And I'm 55 now, but it keeps coming back. And I keep praying to God to take to take it away. And I keep just trying to go forward in faith. And I guess my question is, I don't know what else I can do.
Well, Sherry, you've been through some heartache in life, and those experiences have been seared in your mind. I mean, they're there, and it's hard to shake them. And, you know, you just have to come to a point and realize that those past experiences don't define who you are today. Now, that's easier said than done. That's a process that you work through. But I know many folks that have been through what you've been through. They wrestle with an identity problem. You know, who am I? Am I this abused person? Is that how God sees me? Is that how the world sees me? Is that how I see myself? And if you conclude that yes, that's who I am, then all those experiences are front and center in your mind. But if you realize that you have a new identity in Christ, that Christ has made you into a new creation, has declared you to be a child of God, has rescued you from that old way and has placed you in a new way of life, those memories, even though they're still there, don't have to take a center space on the stage of your life.
And that's what I keep striving for. I keep trying to, you know, just like I said, go forward in faith, and I read my Bible, and you know, I go to church, and I pray all day long. You know, I'm talking to God all day long, and I'll tell Him to, or ask Him to help me to deal with this in some way, that it's not always on my mind. Like, I think it's just the devil keeps trying to...
Yeah, he's stirring the pot, isn't he? I mean, He is definitely stirring the pot. And, Sherry, I think one of the things that is important, you know, we talk about faith. I want to move forward in faith. You know, what does that look like? And the best way that we can describe it is, I think, through some attitudes that the Word of God lays out for us. We see this attitude of thanksgiving from start to finish in the Word of God. And that's always associated with faith. I love the story of the 10 lepers that Jesus healed. 9 of them were healed physically, and they went on their merry way and re-entered their society. They were Jewish. And then one was a Samaritan, and this Samaritan came back to Jesus and said, "Thank you." And to that one, Jesus said, "Your faith has made you whole. Your faith has made you well." The other 9 received physical healing, but only this one, the Samaritan, received soulish healing, received healing for that mind and heart of his. And how did that happen? Well, through this attitude of faith expressed through thanksgiving. So, Sherry, you have these thoughts, these images that race back, and then Satan stirs that pot. And I think when that happens, you have an opportunity to stop right then and there and say, "Lord, I want to thank you that I am not what happened to me years ago, that I am a child of God, and I am a child of God because you have given me new birth, you have made me alive in you, and you have declared me to be one of yours. And so I thank you for that right now." So use those opportunities to express faith in Jesus through that attitude of thanksgiving.
Okay.
And, you know, in time, you'll look back and you'll see, you know, those were horrible experiences, and no one wants to go through those experiences, and you wouldn't want to wish that on anyone, and you certainly wouldn't want to go back through there. God is big enough, and He's used those things to bring you to a point today where you could receive His love and grace. And so you have to come to this point and say, Lord, that was awful, but you've worked it together for my good to the point that I've been saved, that I'm one of yours, that I belong, that I am secure in your hand, and no one can snatch me out of your hand. And thank you for doing that for me. Thank you for saving me so that I could walk in the newness of life.
Yeah.
Were you willing to thank him today?
Yes, I am.
Would you just like to do that in prayer right now?
Yes.
Well, let me just pray and you pray along, okay?
Okay.
Lord Jesus, thank you that you died for me.
Lord Jesus, thank you that you died for me.
Thank you that you've given me new life.
Thank you that you've given me new life.
And a new identity.
And a new identity.
And that you love me right now.
And that you love me right now.
I want to thank you for my past.
I want to thank you for my past.
And I want to thank you for how you've used it for my good.
And I want to thank you for how you've used it for my good.
In saving me.
And saving me.
And giving me a brand new identity as a child of
God. Giving me a brand new identity.
As a child of God.
As a child of God.
And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
So, Sherry, every time Satan brings up those thoughts about the past, you just use it as an opportunity to thank the Lord.
Okay.
Okay? And what I'm going to do, Sherry, we're going to put you on hold. We're going to get some more information from you, and then we're going to send you a copy of this book, The Hurt and the Healer, which I think will be a valuable resource to you, okay?
Okay, thank you so much, and thank you so much for taking my call.
Well, you are welcome, Sherry, and thanks for being courageous enough to call and to lay out your life on national radio. But, you know, God is good, isn't he?
Yes, he is. Yeah. Yes, he is.
Well, let me put you on hold, Sherry, and we'll get you this book, The Hurt and the Healer. And you call us back, will you?
I will.
Okay. God bless, Sherry.
Well, Bob and Richard, there's just no way to anticipate how many people are going through similar situations in their lives, circumstances that just are devastating without understanding who we are and what God has done for us. And that's what Bob is just talking about, and that's what this book, The Hurt and the Healer, is about. We want to get a copy into your hands, and we can do so for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel to get your copy. And this offer is just available for a few more days, friends, so take advantage of it right now if you can. For just a few more days, go to basicgospel.net, click the prominent link right there on the homepage, The Hurt and the Healer by Bart Millard and Andrew Farley. And we hope that you'll take advantage of that opportunity to do just exactly that. As I said, it's for a gift of any amount. Or you can call 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours and speak with our customer service representative, Billy. 1-800-727-2828. She'll help you with your request and your gift to Basic Gospel.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to the Bronx and talk with Anthony listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Anthony.
Hello. Could you expand on Hebrews 10:26 for me?
Would be happy to, Anthony. That's one of those passages that we're reading along in chapter 10 and all these great things about the work of Jesus Christ, and then we get to 26 and we're like, uh-oh, man, and it's
Could I illustrate it for you? The difference, if we deliberately continue sinning after we've received the knowledge of the truth, there is no longer any sacrifice that will cover these sins. There is, period. There is only the terrible expectation of God's judgment and the raging fire that will consume his enemies.
Well, here's what that means, Anthony. This whole chapter is about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ in comparison to the sacrifices of the Old Testament, the blood of bulls and goats. Those sacrifices were merely shadows of the good things that were coming. They are not the realities themselves. Those sacrifices could never take away sin. Those sacrifices could not make us perfect. Those sacrifices would not enable us to draw near to God in perfect worship. So those sacrifices were weak. Those sacrifices could not deliver us to the goal. Jesus Christ did that. His shed blood does that. And so there's this contrast being made by the writer. And he's saying to the folks that for you to be delivered to your goal, for you to experience what God has for you, you need to let go of the old. You need to put aside those Old Testament sacrifices, and you need to rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Now, if you keep on deliberately rejecting the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, there's no other sacrifice left for sins. There's no other sacrifice that is going to be made. If you keep holding on to those Old Testament sacrifices, all you have left is the fearful expectation of judgment and of a raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. So it is a clarion call to those who were wrestling with whether or not Jesus was the real Messiah and whether or not his sacrifice was sufficient to take away sins. It was a call to those folks to get off the fence and put faith fully in Jesus Christ. And if they weren't willing to do that, if they weren't willing to do that, Anthony, then all that remained was this fearful expectation of judgment. Why? Because the only thing God is going to judge the lost world with is this. What did you do with my son? Did you receive him or reject him? And here he's talking to people that are rejecting Jesus, and he's saying through that rejection, through that deliberate rejection of Jesus Christ, that's the deliberate sin.
Disbelief. Not believing in Jesus is a sin, John 17.
That's exactly right. So that's what this passage is all about. It doesn't teach that we can lose salvation. It's a passage to the lost saying, move forward with Jesus. Believe him. Rest in his sacrifice. Allow that sacrifice to make you holy, to make you perfect, to set you apart, and put you on the right road that God wants you to be on.
God bless you. Because it's true, because it says, you trample on the Son of God and keep the blood covenant, which was made us holy, as true. You're right.
So that's what this is about. Does that help, Anthony?
Not believing in you. Yes, it did. You clarified it, and that's real. Thank you so much. Because I called you guys last week, too. Not maybe 2 weeks ago, but now I understand.
Well, excellent.
Not believing in Jesus is a sin. It's true.
That's exactly right.
And the conclusion says to treat the covenant and trample on that which is holy and treat it as is common as it unholy, insult and disclaim the Holy Spirit, which Jesus does give you the Spirit. Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Anthony. Hey, thanks for your call. We sure appreciate it.
Yeah, that is so gratifying when someone just gets it, you know?
That's right.
It
just,
truly is.
Just that light bulb moment.
Yeah.
And the Word of God is clear. If you put it in context, you know, just kind of read through, it's like, oh, this is what this is. So often we just take this passage, Hebrews 10, 26 through 29, lift it up out of its pages, mm-hmm. and we just put it on display over here. And boy, some of the language in here just scares the weebie-jeebies just right out of you.
It really does.
Put it back into its context, and you're like, oh, I see. This is about rejecting the sacrifice of Jesus.
Yeah.
This is about lifting up your fist to God and saying, no, I'm not going to trust in Jesus. I'm going to keep shedding the blood of bulls and goats. That's what I'm going to rely upon. Well, that's not going to take away your sins. That's just going to leave you dead spiritually. And when you stand before God at that great white throne judgment, all you're going to have is judgment.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be a good one.
Absolutely.
You know, the cool thing about this kind of aha moment is that it's a lifetime of aha moments. It's not just one.
Yeah,
it happens
right.
over and over and
right.
over again.
Absolutely. Well, let's go to New York and talk to Stephen listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Stephen.
Hey, man. Praise the Lord. How you doing? Listen, I got a question concerning... I want to help somebody with this, too. Concerning the how and why we worship on Sunday and not on the Sabbath. I got a lot of answers from different people, and they're kind of like all over the place, and even clergy. But the people I want to help the most seem to want a sledgehammer type answer for what we believe. Why do we worship on Sunday and not on Saturday or the Sabbath?
Well, Stephen, an excellent, excellent question. Richard, how do we answer that? What does the Word of God say? Does it specify that we should, as New Testament believers, have one day set aside that we worship, or does it have a different message for us?
Has a completely different message. The rest that we have been invited into in this new covenant is a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week, 365-day-a-year rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ. The only reason that anybody ever started to worship on Sunday was in celebration of Jesus' resurrection. It's not that they substituted the day. It's not that the law changed. It was just something that people were so thrilled that Jesus was raised on the first day that they worshiped on that day as long as any, or as well as any other day. But we are not under the Mosaic covenant. We are under a new covenant, and it's a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week rest.
Yeah, there was a deal with the Jews and the Samaritans. It was the place of worship that was important to them.
Yes.
So Jerusalem was the place for the Jews, and Samaria, they had a place. And Jesus had this conversation, and he said, it's not about a place. Those who worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth.
Yes.
And so the same applies for us. It's not about a day. Paul talks about that don't let anyone judge you about a specific day, but it's about worshiping God in spirit and in truth. And then Paul goes on to give some more insight into what true worship is. It's offering yourselves as a living sacrifice to be used by God. That's your spiritual act of worship. And that's just not a one-day-a-week thing. That is our way of life. That's our manner of life, to live every day worshiping God, and we do so with this very concrete act of offering ourselves to Him as living sacrifices.
Something so simple, and we've been searching for it all over the place. I've been getting scriptures from New Jersey, Pennsylvania, California. Oh, man, thank you. I'm going to be pulling somebody up, and you just pulled me up. Thank you. Thanks a million, okay?
You're welcome, Stephen.
Thank you.
Thanks for your call. We sure appreciate it. Yeah. Well, let's go to Richmond Hills, New York, and talk with Rick, listening to us on WMCA as well. Hi, Rick.
Hi, good afternoon. I have a question which isn't in the like a front burner, but at the same time, Jesus had to have had a last name when he was walking earth. And although it's not essential to know his last name, I'd like to know what name he went by, like when he got registered for his government,
When he got his Social Security card and all that.
Right. Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
Right. When Joseph and Mary went to Nazareth to register
him and that sort of thing. Well, they were very interested in bloodlines, lineage. And a lot of times you see, you know, somebody is named something and then Bar Jonah, which means son of. So I'm assuming that it would be something like that. Richard, do you have any insight?
Yeah, it would have been Jesus. I'm doing this in English. Jesus Bar Joseph. That's how they would have registered him.
And that would have attached him to the bloodline. And that's why, you know, both Matthew and Luke are very careful in delivering genealogies to show, you know, kind of the whole bloodline of Jesus Christ, both through Mary and through Joseph, one back to Abraham, one back to Adam. So that's how they registered it in the Jewish culture. Does that help, Rick?
Okay. Yeah, it does. It doesn't make me any less of a believer or more of a believer. It's just, you know, like the name of your show is Basic Gospel, so I figure, you know, if you have a close friend, you ought to know not only his first name, but his paycheck name, you know, like the whole complete name as he's known to the system.
Well, they were certainly very community-oriented, and they knew each other by family, and they would know, you know, genealogy back several different generations, and that's how they would know somebody in Jewish communities of that day. So, Rick, thanks for your call. Hope that helps, and you call again.
Yeah, we are out of time for today's broadcast. So for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry staff, this is Bob Davis inviting you to join us again tomorrow at the same time for another live edition of Basic Gospel.